dude, right now is the best time ever for you to buy Bitcoin at $105,000, $106,000. Why? Because what's coming is going to look like, you know, a tsunami after a six-mile asteroid hits in the Gulf of Mexico. I think Bitcoin's going to underperform MicroStrategy for probably 6 months of this year because of what Saylor's doing. So there's this epidemic out right now of young men having problems with testosterone. And a lot of people are out there advocating, hey, you know, just take the jab of testosterone cypionate and you'll be fine. It's good for your longevity. That's probably not true. That it's not a conspiracy theory if there's patents and papers to prove it's correct. Let me just tell you something. Putting your kid in a public school in the United States is a prescription for chronic disease. I have a lot of questions about Trump. I didn't want to vote for him. Bobby told me to do it, so I did. Now, is he on a string with me too? Yep. Is Elon Musk on the same string? Is Peter Thiel on that same string? Yeah. All Bitcoiners, but guess what? Do I trust everything about them? The answer is
Bing Bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast, where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Jack Cruz, back in the house, recurring guest. But Dr. Jack, I just heard a great podcast with you and Rick Rubin that went into all about the light exposures and the differences, where you broke it down in three different great steps. Would you mind diving into that and telling us a little bit about how light exposure is basically vital for human life?
Well, I mean, the story should be obvious to anybody who remembers third grade and an orange tree with putting water in the ground and some nutrients. If your grandmother comes and puts a tarp over the tree, you don't get any oranges. Turns out the same thing is true with your skin. The same thing is true of your eye. So if you think about your eye, the three diseases that are out there that are related to this whole orange idea is probably glaucoma, cataracts, AMD. AMD, for those who don't know, is acute macular degeneration. So if you put something over your eye, say like sunglasses, glasses, or say you have intraocular lens implants from cataract surgery, that's, you know, kind of an issue. Or if you use contacts, it actually has an effect, you know, on your eye. So the things distal in your eye don't work. So for glaucoma, it's actually fluid that comes out and you'll get increased intraocular eye pressures, you know, when you go to the optometrist or the doctor. And cataracts, I think everybody knows, is a hazing of the lens where you can't see as good. AMD is you get a hole in your retina and you actually lose the ability to see. It's number one cause of blindness. Sorry about that. Didn't know there was going to be some boom boom in the back. But basically, when you get the hole in the back of your fovea, that's where all your photoreceptors are that allow you to have, you know, good vision. The periphery tends to be okay, but you can fix this with certain versions of light, you know, that are out there. Oh, this is crazy. So anyway, the same thing is true on your skin. This one on the skin that I like to use as examples is cholesterol. When you don't have sunlight, the cholesterol level rises. You know, the doctors then want to put you on a statin, and then you get a problem from there. Another one through your eye, while you or your skin, is hormones, because, you know, cholesterol makes all your hormones. So there's this epidemic out right now of young men having problems with testosterone. And a lot of people are out there advocating, hey, you know, just take the jab of testosterone cypionate or any other medication and you'll be fine. It's good for your longevity. That's probably not true. Same thing with ladies. There's an epidemic of PCOS. That stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. They get issues. Number one cause of women with breast cancer is low vitamin D status. Vitamin D is also made from cholesterol. A lot of people don't know that. It's got a very crazy step that happens in the skin. And then the skin makes what we call 25-dihydroxy vitamin D. And it's got to get transmitted to the active form of the vitamin, which is 125. But that happens in your kidney and your liver. So if your skin is bad, or say you have a problem in your liver or your kidney, you can't make the conversion. Most classic people that have that, people on dialysis, that's the reason they have to take a supplement. Most people know me. I'm not a big supplement guy. I'd rather you do what I'm doing right now. You know, we are literally, what, 1 or 2 days before the winter solstice here in the northern hemisphere. It's a UV index of 13 here. This is like, if you're living in Chicago, this light at the worst day of the year is better than your best day of the year on June 21st. So that should kind of tell you that Uncle Jack wants to live his life kind of like an orange tree, so that I can make all the normal things that I'm supposed to make, so that I don't have to pay some stupid functional medicine doctor or allopathic doctor money to take supplements, you know, because I live in a poor lit environment.
Now, that you said a lot of interesting things there, so I want to dive into some of them. But the first thing that I thought was pretty interesting was about like the sunglasses. Do you think, well, what do you think is, I guess, like worse for your eyes, like just blocking the sunlight with sunglasses or just being on a blue light period?
Actually, both are bad, but both are bad to different degrees, because you have to think about what you're doing. So I don't expect most people to know this, but there's a book out there called Health and Light. It's written by John Ott. It's an old book. You can usually find it, you know, in Goodwills and stuff like that, although it's become very popular lately, so the price has gone up. But in there, there's a passage from a guy named Albert Schweitzer, who was a doctor at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. And he made a comment that there was no cancer in any of the African villages that he visited at this time until they got sunglasses and put them on as trinkets, because they were looked at as, you know, trinkets from the West for the natives, but they actually started to get sick from wearing it. So that is a huge big deal, because remember what sunglasses do. Sunglasses today are probably even worse than the sunglasses they had, because not only do they block UV, but they also block unpolarized sunlight, and they actually polarize the light coming in. Most people don't know that sunlight is unpolarized. Every other light that plugs in to the electric power grid in the United States, or really anywhere on the globe, it's polarized. And believe it or not, the difference between polarized and unpolarized has a huge effect also for how light operates in us. So I'm going to tell you that anything you do, like the two sides of the coin for Bitcoiners, like when I went to Bitcoin Prague and gave the provocative talk this summer about Steve Jobs, Paul Allen, and Hal Finney, I said, what good does it matter if you're a billionaire if you're dead at 60 years old? It's just stupidity. And what am I trying to teach Bitcoiners? There's two sides of the coin, heads and tails. What's the head? When the sun is out, get in the sun. That's actually what I want you guys to do. Like, for example, behind you, you have a window. I can see that you have outside. Well, just open that window up. You know, so that would be simple, you know, if you had a cubicle. Now, a lot of people go to work, they don't have that ability. So then you may have to, you know, be a little bit more crafty. The tail side of the coin is when the sun sets, all light goes out. The only light that I let my tribe really screw around with is probably candles. If you want to do a fire, I'd be fine with that. But even that, when you're not healthy and you really have to fix a problem like hypothyroidism, cancer, I mean, you name it, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm going to tell you complete darkness is what we're best adapted to. And that's the decentralized network of nature. It's light and dark. There's no single control. You have to do both of these correct in order to get, you know, a perfect colony of mitochondria so that you can enjoy your Bitcoin with your family, you know, into your 80s, 90s, and 100. You don't need, you know, these longevity gurus that just talk to you about bullshit, because that's what it is. It's, you know, longevity medicine in the United States right now, in my opinion, is like talking the game of Solana, Cardano, and Ethereum. It's just a total shitcoin. And I think functional medicine is a shit coin. And I think allopathic medicine is too. And I don't like to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because, you know, there's certain things that we do in allopathic medicine that are good. You know, me as a neurosurgeon, if you, you know, get an accident, you get hit in the head with a softball during a softball game and you get an epidural or subdural, we're good at taking care of that. You fall down at the baseball game, break your arm, we're good at that. What we're specifically talking about here is where the chronic disease epidemics come from, you know, and all the stuff, you know, that I helped, you know, Bobby with and Bukele with when I wrote my constitutional amendment. These are the basics of where the chronic disease epidemics comes from. My belief that it always begins with this decentralized network that we just talked about, light and dark. When those go awry, everything else follows. Is the food top of the list? Is the exercise top of the list? No, it's not. Circadian biology is, and that's why this light and dark thing is really great to get right. And I try to pound Bitcoiners about this because, you know, they know the story of Hal Finney. They know it in detail. And everybody always sees those pictures of him, you know, running in the marathons and looking like he's fit. But then at the end of his life, you see him in a wheelchair with ALS. And you begin to realize, well, diet and exercise really wasn't the answer for Hal Finney. So why do we continue to think, no matter who we are, that maybe that's it? And, you know, what do we say in Bitcoin? We always say, verify, don't trust. Okay. And I'm telling you that you need to verify and don't trust centralized medicine. But I'm also telling you, I want you to verify and don't trust Uncle Jack, because I think the only way Bitcoiners are going to begin to realize that light and dark trumps food and exercise is when they do the deep dive. They listen to a lot of the podcasts, you know, that I've done. I just did a pretty big epic one, 4-day here with Robert Breedlove, that I think when it comes out is going to shake some foundations. And even a guy like Breedlove, who's in, you know, phenomenal shape, good looking guy, he's got his own issues. So he's got a weak link and he's concerned about it. And he opens up to me about it. And I think ever since I started bringing this message to Bitcoin, is that Bitcoin is not the most valuable asset you have. Time is. And when you understand that I'm trying to reserve your time through decentralized medicine, then you begin to realize why health and wealth are fundamentally linked. You know, we want it linked through Bitcoin, and we want it linked through you optimizing, you know, the light and dark cycles. And that's really fundamentally, you know, the things that I teach people. And I think the thing that Bitcoiners like about this, I'm not asking you to spend your money on fancy supplements or any kinds of treatments. What I really want you to spend your money on is, take a look behind me. I got the Pacific Ocean. Y'all need to be down here doing this. Yeah, this may cost you a little bit of money and may have to, you know, rearrange your life. But the bottom line is, I'm going to keep you away from the sausage grinder that is centralized medicine. And that's the point.
No, I mean, I agree with you 100%. I try to avoid any type of supplement or additional kind of thing, just putting in my body and try to figure it out myself, whether it's diet or, getting out in the sun, just kind of trying to be more active. But a big thing that you touched on there was that book about sunglasses and cancer. Now, yeah. I want to dive into that. Do you think that like one of the leading causes of cancer can be attributed to blue light, or the increase in blue light and the increase in like sunglasses kind of blocking our eyes from it?
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. People probably don't want to hear this. The current cancer generation in young people, like, remember we were told through COVID that fatties and old people were going to die. Turned out that wasn't true. And I even brought this up to Breedlove because, you know, he's in Miami and I have a clinic in Destin. And I told everybody, you go back and look at the fight that DeSantis and Cuomo had in COVID. And when you look at it, there's more old people in Florida than New York. And guess what? You did better in Florida than New York. Why? Because it's a story about light. Got it? And people didn't, you know, back then they really didn't get it. And now we've got the new issue with young people dying of cancer. I mean, unfortunately, the guy that I'm going to probably talk to you about, just because it's brand new current events, Randy Moss, Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's not a fat ass. He's not out of shape. You know, he exercises, but he took the jab because of Disney. And the jab, you know, has got this really big problem. If you took Pfizer, you got to worry about the SV40 promoter. That's a cancer-causing problem in mammals. And then if you took all the other jabs, then you got to worry about DNA plasmids. And, you know, another decentralized Bitcoiner, Kevin McKiernan, actually did the seminal studies on this to prove that this was going on. And he's now shown that in each jab, you get 60 billion copies of this DNA plasmid. So the current spike that we're seeing right now in cancer, that is the big elephant in the room. Okay. The question you asked me, what if you took the jab and did blue light? Then your risk of cancer is multiplied. Okay. You didn't take the jab and you're doing the blue light and you're a Bitcoiner, you need to listen to what I'm going to tell you. I don't want you to block the sun with any sunscreen. I don't want you to wear any sunglasses. You know, if you're in a place where there's a big albedo effect, like say on a boat or you're skiing, you know, they have these Alaskan ivory tusks. I don't know if you ever seen them. They have slits in them. Go buy something like that instead of using glasses. You'll be able to see perfectly fine. The light will still get through because of, you know, the double slit experiment. You don't need a tarp over the most important parts of your biology. And when I can teach people that there's things that they can do, you know, it's kind of like what we're talking about in Bitcoin now. All of us are big in Bitcoin, but there's some interesting ideas right now going around MSTR, MSTU, and MSTY for Bitcoiners. When we have some extra dry powder, you know, we've already got our stack. This is kind of the things I'm talking to you about now, about these, you know, a lot Eskimo kind of glasses. Do something like that, you know, instead of, you know, screwing yourself up with Ray-Bans or, you know, aviators. The cancer thing is a really complex thing to unpack. But to answer your question succinctly, yes, blue light is associated with many diseases, cancer being one. Non-native EMF is another synonym for blue light. But realize when we talk about like a device like this, so the audience understands, you get the blue light from the screen, but you also are emitting RF and microwaves. That's also another version of non-native EMF. And you probably have heard people talk about light. Another synonym is called the electromagnetic spectrum. Well, that spectrum goes, you know, from RF all the way up to gamma rays. So the way I like people to think about it, think about the spectrum like a blockchain, and then each individual part is kind of like its own block. And it turns out certain blocks are better than others. And for us as humans on the third rock from the sun, we are optimized to 250 to 760 nanometer light. That's called the visible spectrum. For those of you who are really science retards, the Pink Floyd album cover. That's what you're thinking about. The only other part of the spectrum that we're really adapted to is in the radio frequency range. 7.83 hertz or any harmonics of that. Why? Because that's the Schumann resonance. What is the Schumann resonance for those of you who don't know? The solar wind hits our planet, third rock, creates a cavity wave. How do I want you to think about this? I want you to think about a guitar when you strum the strings, the wave that's created inside the hole of the guitar, that's the Schumann resonance. And it turns out, how do we know this is important for every living thing on the planet? You guys know in my day job, I'm a neurosurgeon. One of the things that we do, we put all these electrodes on your head like the cardiologists do for your heart. It's called the EEG. There's a wave there called the alpha wave. The alpha wave of everything alive is 7.83 hertz. That's how important it is. Like when everything is optimized on the third rock from the sun at 7.83 hertz, and then you young guys who are going out boom, boom for your $100,000 party and hanging out with Sailor on his yacht, realize you just fucked up the Schumann resonance. And that's kind of important. What happens every night when the light goes out and we're sleeping? You know, we reset. It's like a default setting where we're fine-tuning all of our non-visual and our visual photoreceptors and the part of our brain that pays attention to this 7.83 hertz is called the thalamus. And the thalamus is where all of your sensory relays for your brain go. So what does this 7.83 hertz really do? It increases the fidelity of the signal. So for a Bitcoiner to really make sense of this, and I'm going to give you an analogy. It's a good one. It's not great, but it's like the hash rate. The hash rate always goes up before price goes up. So I want you to think about your Schumann resonance kind of like the hash rate in Bitcoin. If you do that, it's good enough for me.
Are you looking for the best way to store your seed phrase? Well, I've got it for you. It's Stampseed. They've got the number one punch place where you can order a full-on package where they've got every single thing. They've got all the letters. You could just get it in there. And they've got this sick, sick hammer, which they've engineered to make it so easy for you to punch in that titanium steel plate and store your seed phrase in the most secure way possible. So go ahead and get your Bitcoin off of these exchanges and use promo code GREENCANDLE for 15% off. They're helping power this show. They've got the
Bitcoin logo. You can punch it into your seed phrase as well. If you could see it here, they've got a lot of cool stuff. And now I'm helping empower you to get your Bitcoin off an exchange utilizing Stampseed and storing your seed phrase in the most secure way possible. Now get to it. All right, back to the show.
Okay, so yeah, and then you mentioned contacts. Well, I've been wearing contacts since middle school, and I've been breaking glasses left and right when I play sports. So I've always, you know, wanted to wear contacts and kind of avoid the glasses and everything like that. Now, what could be some of the potential side effects from that?
Well, let's talk about the easy one. The easy one is everybody, when they get finished with this podcast, go in the mirror and look at your eyes. I want you to notice something that's interesting. Your cornea has no blood vessels on it. Why? Obviously, so you can see through it, so it's clear. So what does that mean? If it has no blood vessels, you got to ask the next question if you're not brain dead. How does the cornea get a blood supply? Because remember, blood brings oxygen. So here's the crazy part of the cornea. You actually breathe directly through your cornea. You don't need any blood supply for it. So what would you imagine if you put a garbage pail cover over your eye called a contact lens? Okay, you decrease the oxygen there. So let's do a hard stop. So now by wearing a contact, not only are you changing the frequency of light, but that's not your question now. We're just talking about this cornea issue. You're decreasing the amount of oxygen in there. And oxygen, if you remember anything from biology, is the terminal electron acceptor of your mitochondria. So if you're decreasing the oxygen, how good would you be if I strangled you for most of the day while you had your contacts in? Because that's effectively what you're doing to your eye and everything distal to it. Remember, what's distal to your eye? Your retina, your hypothalamus, your brain, where you make all your hormones, and then your brain. So do you think it's a good thing to starve those parts of your brain with lower oxygen? The answer is no. So for you, the answer is simple. I want you to go back, wear glasses, and break them. I don't care. You got Bitcoin. You got plenty of money. Go back to that. Look, Uncle Jack does it. And you can see when I'm talking to you right now, I'm out in this beautiful sun and I don't have anything on my eyes. Why? Because just by virtue of staying here, and you have to realize when you do have glasses on, the oxygen's still getting on the other side of the glass. So you don't have that effect. And I do agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you that there is a vanity effect. There is, you know, people don't like it for sports, but this is what I would tell you. Your time is created by these issues. If you do something for vanity, over, you know, freedom or sovereignty, you're making a huge trade. And, if you do this, like you said, since middle school to where you are now, that's a big deal, my friend. And, you know, ultimately, my job as a decentralized clinician is not to convince you that I'm right. It's my job to put my flashlight on this topic, and then you decide, you know what, maybe I need to think about this a little bit differently, because, you know, I don't want to wind up with Parkinson's, frontal temporal dysplasia, you know, glaucoma, cataracts, you name, you know, what the hell is coming next. Because the last time I checked, when every human crawls out of its mother's vagina, there's no glasses or contacts on the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, like, I am very, yeah. I mean, obviously this one hits close to home, and I'm very, like, I got a lazy eye in my left eye. I've got some comments on it on my YouTube. Had eye surgery when I was born. So my eyes have always been kind of an issue for me. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I'm going to have
That's an interesting story, because you just opened up another can of worms. A baby born with that problem, that means that the egg and the sperm you came from, there's a transgenerational problem that was built into your mom. That's why you got the problem you got. So the reason this is big, I don't know if you have kids or not yet, pay attention to that. Why? Because you can actually fix it. Even though your eye had a problem, you had the surgery, probably strabismus surgery, which is what that's for amblyopia. You do like what I'm doing right now. You sit outside, because, you know, I didn't wear glasses either when I was a young man. I did that in my training to become both a dentist, an oral surgeon, and a neurosurgeon, you know, by being in blue light constantly, because blue light takes the globe and makes it elongated. And that's what myopia is. And myopia is nearsightedness. That's the most common deficit that you get. And blue light causes that, because what happens when dopamine changes in your eye, because you make dopamine from UV light through two aromatic amino acids called tyrosine and phenylalanine, changes the shape of the globe. The same thing happens, just so you know, about football players and baseball players. So I always like to tell people this story, that muscle fiber type, because you don't realize the muscle in your eye also is a skeletal muscle. You don't think about it like that, but it is. But the skeletal muscle fiber type, if you look at the NFL list of top rushing leaders, you'll find out there's only one guy in the list that's not in the top 20 who came from low latitude areas. And that was John Riggins, because he went to Kansas and he played with the Jets and played with the Skins. Every single NFL rusher that's on that list started their career low latitude, where UV light was strong. Why? Because they had phenomenal skeletal muscle fiber type. What controls that? Dopamine. Same story again. You know, most people learned about the dopamine story when I did the podcast with Rick and Huberman, because we talked about dopamine as it relates to not only frontal lobe function, but also, you know, believe it or not, mate selection and sexual gender ID. Blue light actually causes you to want to paint your hair orange and blue and put shit through your nose. And, you know, you think you're a girl or a boy or opposite or the trans thing. Most people don't realize that this is a consequence of the way that we've lived our life. The science is well documented that these things are true. But the problem is nobody wants to talk about them because, you know, they're not politically correct. And, you know, as Bitcoiners, you know how I feel about that. They can go kiss my ass, because the bottom line is decentralized science is decentralized science. And you're allowed not to believe it. But just as I've told many Bitcoiners recently in Clubhouse, that it's not a conspiracy theory if there's patents and papers to prove it's correct. And there are. And you just may not know about it. And yeah, I happen to be that SOB that knows this stuff inside and out.
Yeah. And so you lined out a couple things, and I got another question, I guess, more personal. I'm farsighted. So what kind of is the cause of that? Because that's obviously, it's like a lot less common, and, you know, the nearsightedness is more of a thing.
Probably
and,
a consequence, you know, of the problem that you had when you were a kid. I mean, it could have been due to the original refraction problem you had, or even the surgery. But believe it or not, what is the ultimate effect? Actually being in that visible light. Visible light for your eye is incredible. So I would just tell you, like, you do the podcast with me, maybe the next time you pick out a studio where you can do outside. In fact, I told Breedlove this. I said, one of the things I think you should do with your podcast is change it so that you do more outdoors. Because, you know, when I didn't go to Miami, I told them, dude, if you want to do this, you got to come here. And we filmed one day. I was actually sitting in the chair I'm sitting with you right now. Then the next day we did something over in another part of my house. And then we even did part of the podcast in my house with all the red lights on, because Breedlove wanted to get what it looks like from 5 to 7 and do the podcast when we started talking about the science about, you know, red light and photobiomodulation. And a lot of people don't know, when the sun's out, the most dominant part of the sun that's really healthy for your problem, meaning the farsightedness, is infrared A and near infrared light. That's red light. It has a fancy name. It's called photobiomodulation. But when you're in the sun, you get this light all the time. So that's the reason I want people in the sun. And, you know, I'm underneath some tropical trees. Right here to my left is a big bamboo tree. And you get the shade. I have the umbrella here from my clinic in Destin, but you see it's down because what am I doing? I'm allowing the chlorophyll in the leaves to capture the sun, and then the biophotons come down and I'm absorbing as much of that 250 to 760 nanometer light to offset talking with you on the screen. Why? I can barely see the screen because the intensity of light all around me. And so the effect of blue light coming off the screen, I'm actually mitigating the risk, you know, by doing this, talking to you. And, you know, that's one of the things you want to do. I mean, I'm not anti-tech. I'm actually about teaching people how to use tech so that you don't harm yourself. And what I'm trying to avoid is seeing Bitcoiners that, you know, do their podcast that are have the mic in front of them. You know, they're sitting in a blue light thing. You don't even realize when you sit behind glass, that actually lets more blue light in, and it blocks all the UV and all the infrared A. So you're actually concentrating the effect of blue light. So you can imagine, you know, sitting in a studio and doing a podcast a long period of time. This is the reason why newscasters and people like that have problems with their eyes. They have problems with cancer. I mean, think about all the guys, you know, I'm assuming you're a sports guy because we already talked about Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. Remember Stuart Scott? Remember Jimmy Valvano? They all died of what? Cancer. And what did they do? They're sitting there in front of, you know, TVs in blue lit places. And that light is even worse because, you know, they're doing it on TV. Most podcasters don't do stupid shit like that. You know, instead they do other stuff that's stupid, like Peter McCormick, get tattoos and then take a jab to go travel around the world. To me, that's not a really smart thing to do. And, you know, I've been pretty critical of him, even though he used to have a pretty good Bitcoin podcast. I think that's part of the reason why he gave up his podcast and gave it to Danny Knowles. Why? Because he thinks he can become the Joe Rogan of Europe, which is a fucking low dopamine idea. I mean, his podcast was good for Bitcoin, but I don't think anybody really thinks that Peter McCormick is somebody who you want to sit down and have a chat with when he does stupid shit. You know, it's just my opinion. It's probably not popular, but again, I don't give two fucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I love that about you because, yeah, you always give it to me, you know, raw and how you really feel about these things. Now, you mentioned sunlight, right? A big popular idea of Bitcoin was sun in your balls. How important is that? And, you know, what are the potential benefit of effects of that?
Well, it's huge. And the reason why it's huge, we'll use two guys that hopefully you know, Barb Molly and Frank Zappa, both died very young of prostate cancer. So remember the story that I told you, if you don't get sunlight, you don't get light at night, you're not going to get cancers like this. And Bitcoiners are extremely confused about this issue. They think that it raises your testosterone. Believe it or not, it doesn't. It's the off switch. And for ladies, this is also important. So when lady Bitcoiners come in, they heard the stories about like estrogen positive or triple negative receptor stuff. What do you need to know? You are designed when the sun rises this morning. Here it was around 6 o'clock. For the 6 to 10 this time of the year, that's when all your hormones are made. So, you know, right now for me, I'm in Central Standard Time. The UV light is strong behind me. UV light turns off all your sex steroid hormones. So guess what UV light functionally does? It's a turn-off switch. And when you turn off, what does that mean? It means the receptors that the hormones bind to become even stronger, a more fidelity of the system, and it lowers the amount of hormones that are in your body. That's actually how you're designed to work. So when you realize that you're not doing this, then your testicles don't make the morning stuff from balanced blue and balanced red, then what happens? You're 25, 30 years old. You go to the, you know, anti-aging doctor in the city you're in, and he tells you that your testosterone's 410. And, you know, that's the reason why you're cognitively feel like shit and this and that. The answer isn't the drug. The answer is you need to spend more time from sunrise to 10. And then all you need to do, like I could show you, I don't think you'll be able to see it, but that roof, I have a staircase that goes up there. It's all grass on the top of my roof. So you go up there, drop your drawers, 5, 10, 15 minutes. You're good to go. And what did you just do? You actually protected your gonad axis. Why is that important? Not only is it important for, you know, your sexual function, but it's important for your prostate. It's important for fertility. It's important for your Johnson so that you don't need Viagra and Cialis. But the big thing for guys that's important, it actually makes you a savage. You'll actually want more Bitcoin. Why? Because testosterone increases cognitive abilities. And it turns out men's cognitive abilities are highest when it's solar noon. So this is the time. Like, I'm in solar noon right now. So this is the time that you want to be out. The ladies, it turns out the same thing is true. You want to be out at that time. But ladies have a bigger problem than guys. Why? They've got boobs and they've got a perineum where their cooch is. And they have huge problems, you know, with breast cancer and, you know, cervical cancer. And if we could get ladies to do this, because you have to realize civilization has kind of given us this idea that, no, we shouldn't be naked. But it's so crazy when you think about how babies are born and all offspring. Like, you find me an animal that comes out with clothes and underwear, and I'll kiss your ass. And it's just amazing to me how centralized we are about some of those things. And I'm not advocating, as Breedlove did when he was here. He goes, so it's true. Bitcoiners should basically run nudist colonies. I'm like, yeah, it probably is true. But what I'd like to see happen is that Bitcoiners take some of their stash, move in a place where you get good sun for like 9 to 10 months out of the year, and then build a place, you know, so that your family, both your kids, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whoever, can get the amount of sun you need. Because most people are stunned. It's not as much as you think. Probably the most important, you know, take home is the morning sun, from sunrise to sun, probably solar noon. I'd say for most people, that's going to be 6 to 10. Obviously, depending on the latitude you live at, that changes, especially now, because there's going to be some people listening to this that are high latitude where the sun doesn't rise until 9 and it sets at 3. Well, you're fucked. You know, you need, it's going to screw up your whole day. That's the reason owning Bitcoin is important, because if you have a big enough staff or stack, you can come and live in a place like this where, you know, work. Tomorrow's the shortest day of the year. Here we only lose about 27 minutes. So for argument's sake, say you're in Chicago, you're going to probably lose 4 hours tomorrow. So that means you have 4 hours less of the most healing stuff on the planet. You understand now why where you live really matters when you start thinking about light. And then, you know, people in Chicago, because there's not enough sun out, what do? They flip the switch of the blue lights on. So they're really fucking themselves, you know, and the stuff that, you know, the wild wolves in Yellowstone Park are doing, they're eating like carnivores when it's wintertime now, but they're embracing the cold. Embracing the cold actually can raise your dopamine and melatonin level up. But modern humans never live like that savage anymore. So if you happen to live at a high latitude and you're, you know, using heating blankets and closing up and staying warm, basically what you're doing is you're reducing your hash rate. And you're subtracting, you know, the top end of your price, which would be your lifetime, you know, and that's how these things are linked.
One of the most crooked industries, most fiat industries there is the health insurance industry. Let's be honest. You don't even need health insurance. If you could find somebody that would help you find awesome doctors, negotiate your bills, and fund those bills through a peer-to-peer funding platform, would you take it? That sounds pretty appealing to me, and that's why I've joined forces with CrowdHealth. CrowdHealth is a place that you can do that all in one. One giant place, you can have a group of peers where they will help you find the best healthcare that you need. On top of all that, I can help get you a discount to get you on your feet and get everything started. You can use promo code GREENCANDLE for 3 months at $99. And with all of this, you will get the healthcare you need. You don't have to worry about going through to the doctor, negotiating, everything like that. Did you hit your deductible? Did you not? Is this insurance company going to cover this claim? Is it not? You don't have to worry about any of that stress. And you could just get CrowdHealth behind you, where they can help you get the number one place to have a health insurance alternative. So join the revolution. Go to joincrowdhealth.com. Tell them that Green Candle sent you, and join me and the rest of the great CrowdHealth users in this peer-to-peer funding platform. All right, enough for me. Let's get back to the show. Now, we haven't gotten into it yet, but last time we spoke a lot about like the carnivore diet and that aspect of things. How, and you know, obviously, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pretty well, and he's cited some of your work and everything like that. Now, how important do you think it is to, I guess, like shift that and not only look at the sunlight, but also like look at the diet and what we're putting into our bodies as well?
I think for me, this is a very easy discussion to have. I think for you guys, this is probably one of the most difficult things for you to swallow. But you don't realize that food is an electromagnetic barcode of where the earth is in relation to the sun. So, for example, we'll just use Chicago because that's where Jack Mahler's is. carnivore diet makes total sense right now, this time of the year. Why? Because there's no carbohydrates growing in Chicago. But guess what? Bro, you don't think that this coconut trees and pineapple trees are here? I can eat it because it grows here. But you don't realize that the sun is informing my eyes, my skin, and my gut through all its clocks that we can do that. But when you go to Whole Foods in Chicago and buy a coconut and eat it and think there's no consequence, you're an idiot. You're an Ethereum. You're a Solarian. You're a freaking, Cardanian. You're just not thinking right. Why? Because it turns out that the electrons in the food are programmed by light. So if something is not designed to grow at the latitude you're in, why do you even think that it makes sense to buy it? And again, here's where centralization, socialization, civilization actually can harm us when we're not thinking decentralized. If it grows by you, you do it. The problem is the supermarkets, again, centralization of food, has subtracted Bitcoiners' ability to go and talk to a farmer and say, what the fuck grows here? But that's actually what you want to do. The carnivore diet, say if you can't get that information where you live, I think the carnivore diet's a good default. But in a place like this, you don't need to eliminate carbohydrates as long as you're in the sun. Now, if you live an indoor existence, say at the 28th latitude, which is like, Florida or New Orleans, or 24 down to Key West or Miami, they do have fruit that grows there. But at the same time, you need to be out in the sun, getting that signal through your eye, your skin, and your gut, then you're good to do it. So food should be yoked to the growing season that you have where you live. And that's the end of the report. You don't need to go any further. And to be honest with you, I think it's kind of funny when people start talking about diets and shit. I'm like, there's 250 diet books written every year. If you think just by pure chance alone over the last 150 years, we would have stumbled on one that really works for everybody, and it doesn't. And the reason why is because health is truly an N equals one game. You're in a certain zip code. That's what your body needs. And it turns out, even if you have an identical brother who lived in a different bedroom than you, the optimal diet for both of you would be different because your EMF footplate, like what cipher their mitochondria are sensing that they need, is different. And people don't realize that level of sophistication is built into us. And it's built into us so that we can adapt really well to the environment. The problem is our environment, we've changed it so much from the light perspective that it doesn't make any sense. Like when we eat, let's keep it simple. Again, same idea. We buy a coconut from Whole Foods in Chicago and you eat it. That causes what we call a circadian mismatch in your eye, skin, and gut. What's another name for mismatch? That's called inflammation. Okay. What else do we call that? We call that molecular chaos. Why is there chaos? Because it turns out there's a different level of hydrogen in that coconut than your body would expect because it sensed the light this morning on through the eye and the skin. So the gut clocks are ready to work at a certain way. They're not expecting, a shit ton of coconut water to be coming down their path. And when it does come, they're like, hold on. This would be like Home Depot going, Why are the delivery trucks here on Tuesday when they're supposed to come on Thursday? And that is actually what throws off the timing, in the clocks in your gut. And for those of you who think this is kind of horseshit, just realize that your device works the same way. Like, can you imagine if Garmin's satellite above wasn't 38 microseconds faster than time here? You would wind up in another state. That's how big timing is in this situation. And I think most modern humans are addicted, to Waze, Google Maps, and all that bullshit. And you would think that they would understand the same thing is true about when you eat food out of season. But it's shocking to me that people think I'm crazy when I tell them this. I'm like, dude, your mitochondria deciphers the electric magnetic barcode in your food just the way Walmart runs the checkout counter, with the red light reading the barcode. It's no different.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense just like logically, right? I mean, which is that kind of, I don't know. I mean, it's like majority of good ideas, I feel like, just like kind of make sense logically with this sense. And I don't know why it's always met with so much resistance.
I'll tell you the reason why, because we're slaves to our wants, needs, and desires. We actually don't look and realize that we are a thread in the fabric of nature. We somehow think, because we can think and change our environment, the only animal that can do that, that we, you know, get a hall pass from evolution. You don't. That's, you know what a hall pass from evolution is? Disease and death.
Well, I guess, you know, with the changing that Robert F. Kennedy is going to do, right? Do you think that we're going to, you always see the screenshots of people from like the 70s and 80s, that everybody's looking fit out in the beach, like no obesity, all that kind of stuff. Do you think it's possible to get to back to that point, or do you think we're too far gone?
Well, I'm going to shatter your illusions here. It's not the 70s. If you want to go all the way back, I told this to Danny Jones when I did a podcast with him that still hasn't come out. Because I got into it with Callie Means. You know, Callie Means has been injected with his sister into this RFK Maha movement to kind of put a kibosh on the effectiveness. They want to focus on food and not on the elephant in the room, which would be light and also the jabs, because those are the things that are getting you sick. And in this podcast, just so you know, I showed an NHANES chart. NHANES is in the science literature. I made a comment to the paleo guys probably 15 years ago that every 5 to 10% we spend on tech, obesity rates go up. And I told them back then, a guy named Rob Wolf, who is also a food shill, but a smart guy, that if you look back to the data, the obesity thing goes right back to when Tesla made the AC power grid in 1893. So on Danny's podcast, I showed the slide and I showed it to Callie Means. And I said, look, supermarkets didn't start till 1947 and Fruit Loops didn't show up till 1963. And you're big on talking about Kellogg's and Fruit Loops. What the fuck happened from 1893 here? Well, guess what? It turned out then that's when people started gaining 5 pounds, 10 pounds. Now they're gaining hundreds of pounds. Okay. And that's because the effect has been magnified transgenerationally over time. The same thing is actually true in cancer. In 1900, colon cancer was the 37th leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States, which is really low. Here's the crazy thing. 120 years later, it's now number 3. So if you believe Darwin's evolution, that small little changes over time, that means colon cancer's epidemiology in the last 120 years doesn't fit Darwin's theory of evolution. So you know what that means? Darwin's wrong. And it means that the environment controls a lot more than we think. And it also means that light trumps food, okay? Because food really didn't go screewad in the Western world until after we figured out this whole thing about stealing the food from the farmers and then putting it in supermarkets and then making refrigerators. And that's where we lost the whole farm-to-table idea. But I want everybody to know that the obesity rate started 1893. If you look before that, you don't see any blip in the data. And this is something that, you know, the people that want to fight about the dietary guidelines, like all these people want to point to 1970, 1971, when, you know, Nixon decided to do an all-out attack with one of the senators on food because food prices spiked when inflation went up. But that was part of the Nixon shock. And that's where the food gurus like to, you know, stake their claim. And I would say that's recency bias. I think when you really look at where the problem begins, it's actually goes back to that three-legged stool that I always teach everybody about, light, water, and magnetism. And it turns out the light story is really where the obesity goes. And you'll probably be interested in this because you've got an eye issue. Do you know what the first sign that someone's going to gain weight is? You're going to be stunned when I tell you this. There's a part of your eye called the choroid plexus. It begins to thicken. Are there papers published out there that show children that have thickened choroid eventually go on to develop, you know, obesity and diseases associated? The answer is yes. How do you shrink the choroid? By the same story that I told you, how you would deal with your, you know, hypermetria, which is, you know, farsightedness. Get them out in the sun. Do this.
Okay. So, yeah, that's interesting. because, well, I mean, I've always been a very skinny kid, but I've always been very active and out in the sun. So I guess, thankful that my parents have always done that and kind of forced me to get out there. But are you saying basically, like, I guess, what could be the worst combination for young children kind of growing up? Like, not only blue light.
That's the simplest answer ever. As soon as I say it to you, you're going to go, dude, how did I not get this? We shouldn't put children in school without gym class. We shouldn't lock them up in a prison. We shouldn't close them behind the glass. We shouldn't take their books away and give them iPads. We shouldn't take their incandescent bulbs away and put LEDs in. We shouldn't then Wi-Fi radiate them all day. Let me just tell you something. Putting your kid in a public school in the United States is a prescription for chronic disease. Got it?
Okay, so you've discovered Bitcoin and are on the path to financial self-sovereignty, but simply holding Bitcoin is not enough. You need to make sure that it's stored properly and you are in 100% control over all your assets. So sharing your keys with third parties and taking on that counterparty risk is not the answer. The answer is pure and simple. It's uncompromising self-custody, and there's no better way to do it than the Bitcoin way. They've got over 25 years of cybersecurity experience, and their team of experts can help you properly self-custody your Bitcoin, secure your digital life, configure your privacy phones, and even establish a Plan B residency if you're looking to do so. So I'm going to help you guys out here and give you a free consultation if you take the first step and visit thebitcoinway.com/greencandle, and you can check out the boys at The Bitcoin Way and see how they can help you become self-sovereign.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's plain and simple. So then I guess, like, what is the solution for the education system? Just decentralize it all?
Well, what's our favorite cliche that we always talk about? Bitcoin fixes everything, right? You've got, 10,000 Bitcoin or 1,000 Bitcoin, are you going to put your kid in public school? No, you're going to pay somebody to come in the backyard right now and teach your kids. You will be able to build the system that you want. Like here in El Salvador, I have a lot of members that have moved here. Several of them have set up schools, for future families to come here. Do you know where the schools are held? Outside and on the beach. That's the kind of school that kids go. What's the other rule? No homework. Why? Because when you give a kid homework, what do? You're guaranteeing that they got to stay inside in the what? Blue light. It makes no sense. If the teacher cannot get the kid ready in school, then the teacher is deficient. In other words, the teacher is an Ethereum. The teacher is a Solarian. We've got to stop catering to the fucking centralized idiots that are around us. So, like, the big things that I want to see Bobby do in HHS, we need to create humans that are savages. Savages are born outside. Everything needs to be done in nature. What I like to see kids during gym be taught cold thermogenesis. But I like kids to, like when I was a kid, I'll never forget my mother screaming at me. Growing up in New York, I would leave the house with wet hair. I'd stand in between the subway cars going to school, so my hair would freeze. Turned out, that may be part of the reason why I'm pretty smart, because I use CT on my head almost every day. And back then, I had hair like Robert Plant. It was curly and long. So you can only imagine, I look like a goddamn, crazy shaman when I was, a teenager. But that's the kind of stuff. And, when you're a kid, you like going up, Mom, I don't need a hat. I don't need a jacket. I want to go out and have a snowball fight with my friends. But what is your mother telling you? Oh, put a hat, put a glove. Dude, those are things that are all centralized answers. Just like when you go on a boat trip. Oh, where are these sunglasses? Or, oh, you're going to go on the Snake River in Idaho? Oh, well, we want you to sign this disclaimer and you're going to have to wear a wetsuit. That's bullshit. Like, if you're not a savage and you can't turn your own thyroid gland on to get in 50 degree water, who are you? You clearly should be living a fiat standard, because you're definitely not part of the Bitcoin tribe. I mean, you should be able to jump in that cold water just like a polar bear does, just like a walrus does, just like a Weddell seal does. I'm not saying you're staying in that water as long as they can, but for you to go and sample that beautiful mountain water that's deuterium depleted at 8,000 feet, dude, that's what savages do.
So is a cold plunge like kind of necessary in this as well? Or do you think like if it's not natural kind of?
So the answer is yeah. I mean, think about what you're asking me. Because of the tech addiction, because we've broken the two rules of the calling I told you, not enough sun and too much light at night, that means you can't do enough CT for Uncle Jack. You know, when people ask me, well, how much sun should I get? When, like, I told Jack Maulers this when we're at Bukele's inauguration. He's like, I'm thinking about coming down here. You know, is it really good to live here? I said, yeah. I said, I need to get you out of that damn closet with nothing in it and live down here. You can build the same closet. Just make sure it's got open doors and come here. I need you in that sun. I mean, I need that 30-year-old savage to kick ass and take names, you know, so that he can take care of my kids when I'm dead. This is the kind of important stuff that I think I have a duty to pay my knowledge forward to Bitcoiners. A lot of Bitcoiners don't understand why decentralized health is important. And I think that story began to be told last year from Prague when I gave that talk. And I'm happy to tell you that the Prague guys have invited me to go back this year. And I'm going back with Kevin McKiernan, because of the jab, because there's a lot of people that took the jab and they're Bitcoiners, and they need to know now, are there special things that people that are tech abusers who took the jab need to do? And the answer is yeah. And CT is one of them, but there's a whole bunch of other things that you need to consider. And I think we need to push that information out, because I believe if we can get people that made the smart decision and money to go with Bitcoin, I want to give them as much health span that they can get back so they can enjoy that with their family. Then the thing I want them to do is just pay it forward with somebody else. You may see, you know, somebody in line who's struggling, you know, buy them a coffee. Or if you see somebody, you know, has a jalopy and they can't, you know, pay the thing, or they bought their groceries and they're $3 or $4 short. Dude, pay it forward and then tell people, you know, when you do this, go outside. And if you see somebody and you're going to buy them coffee, say, look, do me a favor, drink the coffee outside. Don't even fucking tell them why. You know, try to get people to do the right thing. So like when your pool guy comes over, or your landscaper, say, look, you're allowed to take your shirt off when you clean my yard or clean my pool. You know, we don't have rules against that. And when they hear you tell them that, and they don't know why, eventually they're going to ask you why and say, well, look, I'm trying to keep you in his tip-top shape because I care about your time probably more than you know. People appreciate that, dude. You know, you don't even have to like the person. Like, for example, I'm not really a big fan of McCormick. You know that. But would I tell Peter what I think he needs to do to improve his situation? Absolutely. I've done that before, but, you know, he ignores it. And, you know, people tell you how much they value you by how much they use the advice you give them. You know, and that's why, you know, think in Bitcoin parlance, how many times you've heard us say people get Bitcoin at the price they deserve, right? Isn't that the same message that I'm telling you right now, that when you try to help somebody with their health and, you know, they're like, bro, thanks, but no thanks. That's fine. Don't waste your time on someone who is not receptive to the message. Just move on. But, you know, I'm the provocative guy that will tell you, look, you can make a right decision, have plenty of Bitcoin, but would I listen to anything really Peter has to say when he doesn't do anything else in his life, right? I mean, and then he wants to be Joe Rogan in Europe. I mean, hard stop. I have a big problem with Joe Rogan in the United States. Do I want Bitcoiners to be influenced by people who truly are poor thinkers? No. You know, I want Bitcoiners to be influenced by Bitcoiners who bought Bitcoin, but they also know that the sun, the dark, cold nature, avoiding electromagnetic pollution, you know, understanding that living inside a caldera of a volcano that's got a lake is actually a wise choice when you've got a significant disease that's really expensive that you have to go to Sloan Kettering for, or, you know, MD Anderson, you know, or Cedar Sinai in Los Angeles. That's the information that I want, you know, Jimmy Song to be able to give to some random jabloke, you know, that he meets at a Bitcoin conference, or pulls him aside and said, look, you know, I see you're struggling with a cane. Let me tell you how to increase your muscle fiber type. You know, no, don't buy Dave Asprey or Ben Greenfield's latest vibration plate. That's fucking a scam for them to buy more Bitcoin. Let me show you how to do this. Dude, that's what Bitcoiners should be doing. Like, Bitcoin gives you so much time and sovereignty. Spend it back with the people who are going to build the world that we all want, a decentralized world.
Yeah, so you mentioned Joe Rogan, and I'm curious because he's kind of been, I think he's very influential when it comes to people's like health, whether it's, you know, he tells people to do the cold plunge, the like the supplement stuff. I know he's like into the alpha brain kind of stuff. So where do you think like his biggest, I guess, like miscues have been?
Well, the biggest miscue is who sponsors his show at Spotify. These are people that are tied, you know, to the people that Bitcoiners hate. You know, that's the Rockefellers and Rothschilds. So you have to realize he also advocates with a lot of the guys there for psychedelics. That comes from MAPS. Who funds MAPS? The Rockefellers. So just realize it's like Upton Sinclair. I know that guy's old, but he has some wisdom. When your salary is determined by what you say and do, you as a Bitcoiner, what do we always say? Verify, don't trust. So if you are influenced by Rogan and you think everything he's telling you is really good, then you just bought the party favors at the Ethereum party, okay? And I'm just going to be the guy that points that out. And, you know, like when he had Elon Musk, you know, if you look at that, it was like a jerk-off fest, but was there, it was all softballs back and forth. When he had Callie and Cassie Means on his podcast, did he ask about any of the relationship, like how did they show up on the scene and all of a sudden they get on Rogan and Tucker Carlson? Doesn't that seem crazy to you? Or they're first time authors, they make a book and all of a sudden it's a New York Times bestseller. You don't think there's a machine behind it. And then you find out the same people that sponsor Rogan's podcast are actually the agents for Callie and Cassie Means. You start going, oh, okay. Now we're back to, Charlie Munger, incentives dictate outcomes. That's a cliche that every Bitcoiner knows. But guess what? When the incentives stay hidden from the audience, then you're apt to think Joe Rogan is a really good guy when it turns out he's just like Charles Hawkinson. Okay? Like, you have to challenge your heroes, bro. Just the same way I want you to challenge me. I am ready for the battle. Okay? But I promise you this, everything that I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to cost you very much. It's actually, it's out there. Nature is waiting for you to plug into it. And I think that wisdom, you know, when I get Bitcoiners to come down here to El Salvador and they experience huge changes, I said, see what it costs you. It costs you time. And you had to pour out some of the wine in your glass to put some better wine in. Why? Because the new ideas, you have to unlearn to relearn. And, you know, I tell people that friendship, like really good friendship, is like fluorescence. It burns brightly when things are darkest for the other person. Or Bitcoiners that have bad things happen. You know, I've just recently been connected with a Bitcoiner who did take the jab and is going to probably die from a cancer that he just got as a young man and he needs help. And I told him, dude, while this is going to suck for you and your family, you have to realize that from the negatives, the picture develops. This could be hugely beneficial for, you know, your young children or your family. Just because you're going to get taken out early because you made a poor choice, you have a chance now to actually teach, you know, about those mistakes. Don't run away. Don't lie to your kids and tell them that you may not be here in a year. Tell them what you did. Give them that lesson, because guess what? The guy that built this tree right here, I don't know, 50 years ago, he did something nice for me so that you and I could sit here and talk about this thing. I think, unfortunately, the human savages got away from thinking from first principles, thinking using this decentralized cortex to actually improve the environment, improve all of our lives. And I think when you add value back to a decentralized network, which is what nature is, that karma, you get paid. You just don't know how you're gonna be paid, but you get paid. and, you know, good things tend to happen. Then better people start coming in your network. The people who are douchebags, you have no problem walking away from. Just so you know, I haven't watched a Rogan episode in my entire life from beginning to start. Why? Joe hasn't told me. He hasn't proved to me yet who he really is. You know, and do I give people chances? Yeah, I have a lot of questions about Trump. I didn't want to vote for him, but Bobby told me to do it. So I did. Now, is he on a string with me too? Yep. Is Elon Musk on the same string? Is Peter Thiel on that same string? Yeah, all Bitcoiners, but guess what? Do I trust everything about them? The answer is I do not. You know, do I give Elon a ton of credit for getting Trump elected? You want to hear the craziest part? All Bitcoiners hold on to a chair now. I think we owe a debt of gratitude to A16Z because of the money they spent to get rid of Sherrod Brown, almost get rid of Warren, but also for us to get the Bitcoin reserve. So guess what? Even our enemies at certain times can actually help us. Okay? It's just that we can't allow their sphere of influence to dominate our thinking. You know, and I think it becomes obvious the people that add more value to you over time. Like listening to Jeff Booth is far better than listening to Peter McCormick, Elon Musk, or Joe Rogan. Those are the people I want you to spend time with. You know, when Preston Prish is on and he's talking about this with Luke Roman, pay attention, okay? That's way better than, you know, listening to some jackass from, you know, CNBC. And I think Bitcoiners, they're people who influence them. You need to question those people probably more than not. And I just got finished telling Breedlove that from September 30 to about December 15th, I get a book and I write down all my beliefs. And then I find out, should I still believe this? Or is there data now that is contrary to that? And that allows me to close the hole, my blind spot called the Dunning-Kruger effect. I've been doing this for 25 years. Why? Because it turns out the truth, there is no absolute truth. Just like time is relative, so is the truth. And the truth is an approximation of the data or the beliefs that we have now. So for example, I'll give you this point. If you would have talked to me about MicroStrategy 2 years ago, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I did talk about it on Clubhouse. I did talk it to my tribe members. Some of those people pulled the trigger. Did Uncle Jack pull the trigger back then? No, because my beliefs at the time, where it's Bitcoin and Bitcoin only. One of the things that I changed this year, September 30th to December 15th, I truly understand now what Saylor's doing. I get all the different maneuvers he's doing. I'm going to say something that's going to rock the house again. I think Bitcoin's going to underperform MicroStrategy for probably 6 months of this year because of what Saylor's doing. But let's get this straight. This is a one-time event for Saylor. Okay, he's going to kill it, but there's going to come a time when that party is also over, and you have to be smart enough from first principle thinking to understand when that comes. Well, to get that level of nuance, you're going to have to listen to Breedlove. You're going to have to listen to Luke Roman. You're going to have to listen to Lynn Alden. You're going to have to listen to Preston Prish, and they're going to give you nuggets, just like Saylor's going to give you nuggets. And then there's going to be people probably 6-7 months down the road, probably like a guy like me, that tells you, look, by November 1st, you probably need to be out of this trade. Why? Because we don't know if cycles are going to end. Everybody in the world, when they're all manic and, you know, the mental hospital, which is the bull run, they're all going to say cycles are over. I already know that's coming, but are they? Like, you have to begin to start to think about these things. And yes, the things that Saylor is doing right now to Wall Street by basically, you know, getting free money, money that you and I can't get, you know, for 50 basis points and turn around and just fucking ATM the fuck out of his Bitcoin stack. You know, dude, this guy's going to have 500,000 coins before Trump even buys one damn coin. Like, if you don't understand, I mean, I'll tell you, today stocks announce earnings. I don't know if you know this, but I'll give you an example. Top seven stocks put all their money out. You look at the market capitalization. I'm trying to think one off the top of my head because I put the tweet out earlier today. I think it was Amazon. They brought in $15.8 billion and their market cap is like ridiculous. MicroStrategy has the same earnings for this quarter They're not captured yet because the FASB rules there. You know what the market cap of MicroStrategy is right now? $94 billion. Let that sink in. How bad MicroStrategy is mispriced compared to the other companies like Meta, Amazon, Google. When you're a Bitcoiner and you put the, you know, pen to paper and the math, you start going, bro, MicroStrategy basically is an investment bank for Bitcoin. That's what it is. And if you got 500,000 Bitcoin in your vault and everybody knows you're not selling and you keep fucking buying, you think MicroStrategy is going to stay at $94 billion forever? No. When actually the retards on Wall Street wake up to what's going on, guess what? So all the Bitcoiners that think that the party's over, I'm talking about the no-coiners, the people that own the shit coins, dude, right now is the best time ever for you to buy Bitcoin at $105,000, $106,000. Why? Because what's coming is going to look like, you know, a fucking tsunami after a six-mile asteroid hits in the Gulf of Mexico.
Are you looking for a way to earn some free sats? Who isn't? Well, I've got the perfect way for you. It's an app called Yopaki. Besides having the absolute coolest name in the game, they've got an interactive card game called Lotteria. Oh, look at that accent. I'm just hitting it, huh? That can teach you the history of Bitcoin and financial literacy. They've got amazing services and one of the slickest mobile wallets. Download it now using this link and you can get 500 sats on the house on Green Candle, and then you can play Lotteria every single day in order to potentially get some sats. All you got to do is match the cards, and it's an extremely fun and interactive way to learn more about Bitcoin. All right, enough for me. Let's get back to the show.
Now, Dr. Jack, you've been very generous with your time, but I got one last final question for you. Is it too late to reverse the course with everything that you see kind of coming here? So outside of Bitcoin, just from the health perspective, can we flip the script by doing exactly what you're describing here? Get more sunlight, put the proper food and everything there.
Yeah, I think everybody can make their choices. Just so you know, your choice is a hinge of destiny. But I will warn you that nature has a couple of curveballs coming. Do I believe that in your lifetime, maybe not mine, something that happened in 1859 is going to happen? It's called the Carrington event. We're going to get hit with a coronal mass ejection, and guess what happens? You're all going to be able to live like I did when I was a kid, when there was no tech, not a lot of light. And then for about a year until we rebuild everything, you're going to go, this is crazy. Admissions to the hospital, going to the doctor, it's all down. It's like we're all, you know, mimicking what's going on right now with the Amish people in Pennsylvania. They don't use electricity. They didn't take the jab. They don't have myocarditis. They don't have any turbo cancers. You know, they don't struggle with the same things that everybody else does. So before the CME hits, be smarter than everybody else. You're already a Bitcoiner, so we know you're capable of doing it. But remember, we also know that you're addicted to that technology. And it's really hard for a heroin addict to get away from something they're addicted to unless they're smart enough to change the environment, in which case I'll leave the lights on for you right here in Bitcoin country.
There we go. I love it. Dr. Jack, you've been very generous with your time. Why don't you tell people where they could find you and a little bit more about what you got going on?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me. My handle is Dr. Jack Cruz everywhere. There's a lot of scammers. Don't believe it. There's no underscores or numbers. It's Dr. Jack Cruz everywhere. You can find me on Twitter. If you want to find out a lot about the science that I write, I have a website that's got a form. It would take you probably 10 years to read everything that I've written. I've written about 150 articles on LinkedIn. They're free. If you want my high-level stuff, it's on Patreon. It's only $5 a month. I don't make it expensive because I need your money. I have to hide from the people that are trying to put me in jail. And I've written a book. It's on Amazon. You can hire me to be your doctor if you want. I only take Bitcoin and I am expensive. And you'll see me tearing centralized institutions apart on Twitter almost every day.
I love it. And I'll put all that in the show notes. Dr. Jack, thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you for tuning in to the latest episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you really enjoyed this one, I've got another one cooking up for you. You can click that right here and you can go to the next episode, which is an absolute banger, where you know I'm bringing you only the latest and greatest guests. Or if you're looking for more macro-related content, you could check out my other channel, Macro Insights Pod. I got it linked for you right here. So where I'm bringing you more about stocks, real estate, traditional finance stuff. So go ahead and check that out. And if you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead and hit that like, hit that subscribe button, and tell a friend to tell a friend. All right, enough from me. I'll see you at the next one.